Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the HTAC AfriCast. My name's Clinton. Joining me, Brendan.
Hello.
And Nick.
Hi, how are ya?
It's the middle of the week. I'm doing fine. It's been a long month. It feels like it's gone on forever, but it's about to end, thankfully.
It has gone on forever.
And it's only 30 days this month. It's only 30 days.
That last one would have killed me.
If it was 31.
Yeah, that would have been too much. The world hasn't been on fire exactly, but there has been quite a lot of news. Let's start with you, Brendan, because this one actually happened yesterday.
This week, yeah.
Yeah.
So Google announced yesterday that it was adding Zulu, Xhosa, and Swahili to its Google Translate, but not just Google Translate. They're actually using something called Google's Neural Machine Translation System.
Right. So different from Translate.
Okay. So essentially what used to happen is Google would feed its machine learning algorithm. It's technically not what it is, but we're going to use that, that turn of phrase for today. So they would feed its algorithm a whole bunch of words, so basically a dictionary, and say, this is how you translate this. But as we know, like language isn't that simple. There's tense and grammar and context and all that sort of thing. So what Google developed last year was this Google Neural Machine Translation System. And what that does is Google feeds that system a whole bunch of texts which are translated already.
Okay, so that was manual translations.
Well, yeah, essentially.
By hopefully someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, in like in terms of localizing books and that sort of thing. So that the machine already had a pretty good basis of what to go off of. So the way that the person described it, and I'm going to torture his name here, and I'm really sorry, but it's Blaise Aguera y Arcas. I'm not
Spanish. We're just going to call him Blaise from
Blaise. The way he explained it is that you sort of take a sentence and you assign a value to it. So say 1,000 in a sentence. And then you take that same sentence in Spanish and assign it the same value. So that when it translates, that value is similar in terms of the grammar rules and all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
So this technique reduced translation errors by an average of 60%.
Jeez.
So essentially you can now cue in language phrases into Google. You don't even actually need to write anything these days. You can download the Google Translate app and you can use augmented reality to look at a piece of text with your phone. Oh. And from there, it will translate.
That's useful.
On your screen. So it'll overlay the translation live on your screen.
That's useful for getting around town. You can point it at signs.
Yeah, and traveling and that sort of thing. That's kind of what they showed us at Google, how it would best be how this technology would best be used, is kind of downloading it on your phone and then looking and seeing, and then it'll translate for you. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it kind of like, it all depends on the quality of your camera, your internet connection, that sort of stuff. But what was really interesting about this is how Google is actually employing the use of artificial intelligence. So one of the things that Blaise mentioned is that Google is trying very heavily to move from a cloud-based artificial intelligence to one which is on device, so that it's faster and it's a little bit more private.
Right.
So I don't know if you guys are aware, like when you're selecting text on an Android phone, you try and highlight it. Yeah, like Clinton says, it's a nightmare. But Google has now actually deployed a neural algorithm that learns as you do things like that. And it doesn't transfer it to a thing in the cloud live, real time. It does that at a later stage. But it essentially learns how you use your phone and how you use text, right, and like how you are seeing numbers and full names and that sort of thing. It gets better and better at doing those sorts of things. So
it's still a learning process for this thing. But
absolutely, but it's getting better.
So what they're aiming for is basically what they have in Finland or what they have in Spain or what they have in Germany, which is you go to the Google page, it's all in German, and it's all. And it's not like taking the raw copy off a page, throwing it into Google Translate and getting back pidgin English.
Absolutely. So the whole idea is to
about
make
time.
It is about time. But I mean, as well, like the thing is, this has taken a lot to get to this point. Mm. And it's not like they could have flipped this switch a couple of years ago. They didn't have the computing power. We don't have the devices that we have today. Mm. There's a whole bunch of ifs that had to kind of come together to make this happen. And it's really interesting how they're doing it. And like, a lot of people are going to say, oh, but it's the rise of the machines and AI is going to kill
us
all.
Wasn't that one of the Matrix movies? Right?
No, probably. That was the Terminator.
One of those two.
Terminator, but Rise of the Machines.
You know, you say this has taken a while. It's like, this is one of the things I completely understand why it took a while.
Yeah.
Translation is so difficult.
And especially when it comes to machine learning, I mean, it's only as good as the information it's being given.
Mm.
And
also that the information, the raw information, doesn't take into account subtleties like sarcasm or local colloquialisms. I mean, like in America, when they say that's a good idea, they actually mean it. Whereas in England, when they go, that's a good idea,
it's kind of
it could be either way.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, that's another thing that they mentioned, that Google mentioned, is that at the moment AI struggles with context, and you can see this with certain translations. So if you're trying to, for instance, we were trying to translate, Google can translate Zulu rather well. It took rather well as rather than well, you know, it kind of fumbled on that. But these sorts of things will get better as it gets used more, because that's the point of machine learning. It gets better as you use it more often. So it's really interesting, and it's actually really nice that Google's now introduced Zulu and Xhosa and Swahili.
Well, I mean, but it is nice, but then also it's and just to play devil's advocate here, it's also completely in their interest.
I mean, absolutely.
Here's the thing, is that, like, if you remember the Digital Skills for Africa initiative that Google's a part of, where essentially they said, well, we're going to train up 1 million Africans in digital skills in 1 year. And I think that this year they had a press conference where they actually said, well, we've shot past that that amount. All right. And then you go, oh, free education, isn't that marvelous? And it's like, yes, you also have a huge untapped market here that could possibly be using your products and using your services. And this is the thing. Over in the first world, and I hate that, let's say that over in the north, let's say.
Yeah.
They've developed. They've saturated that market.
Yeah.
All right. But like, one of the things they found from the Digital Skills for Africa initiative is that, like, there are more people who speak Zulu than speak Finnish, and, you know.
Sorry, I found that
Google's in Finnish, but it's not in IsiZulu.
In IsiZulu, yeah.
So, you know, it, just completely from somebody going, well, if we want to tap this market, we had better start offering our services in their languages.
Yeah.
So yeah, on the one side, it is great and it is wonderful, and it's.
But it's about time. I absolutely.
But it's about time.
I really absolutely do.
And
agree
also,
with you.
It's ultimately about money.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I mean, but here's the thing, though: is it bad?
No, not at all.
I think it could have come a lot sooner.
Is capitalism bad?
if we're going to like split real hairs here, I think that
depends what you mean by capitalism.
It should have come a lot sooner. Mm. But then also you got to wonder how could it have happened sooner? I mean, especially in the context of Africa, where mobile phones are only now starting to become prolific, and the majority of the nation has, or the majority of the continent rather, Africa is not a country.
It's the second. It's the largest continent in the world, apparently.
And if there are any Jake Paulers listening, England is not a city.
Yeah.
That wasn't him. That was his English, quote,
whatever.
English friend.
Whatever. They're all part of the same, cut from the same cloth.
They're all from the same city.
But yeah, I think it's. It should have happened a long time ago, but at the same time, I kind of understand that it needs to get to a point where it will actually work for them and the citizens, rather than,
well,
okay, cool, let's build it and they will come like the highways in Myanmar.
Well, I also think it's like we are not a priority. Even as
you
Nick
think?
Said, no, even if Nick said we are potentially a big untapped market, there are many countries, not bigger maybe, but maybe more profitable, that were tapped first, and I think they looked at those first.
Absolutely, yes.
So it's two things. One, it's difficult, took a long time. Second of all, we're small beans.
Mm.
Well, but I'm glad
to hear. I'd say perhaps in terms of maybe South Africa, yes, but in terms of the continent, no. There's quite a lot of investment in infrastructure going on.
Sure, but I mean, Like, think about the whole of Europe. How many places there took the priority over the whole continent of us, of Africa?
Yeah, but in what context?
No, I'm saying Google looked at doing their languages first.
Oh, of course, of course.
That's what I mean.
Because they had the infrastructure in place and they had the equipment in place and all the rest of it.
So I want to know, is this going to be added to Chrome when you load up a page in a different language? It says, do you want to translate?
I'm actually not sure.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure at some stage that will be added.
Because I think...
like localizing on the fly, you mean?
Yeah, because that's like 90% of the time that I use Google Translate is the web page function.
Okay, so I think the technology is being employed in across Translate. So yes, you will start seeing better translations of things like RU and any Russian sites that you visit or Chinese sites, you know. Yeah, so you will start seeing that. As for whether it's going to work for websites here in South Africa that are in Zulu or websites that are in Swahili, I'm not 100% sure. But I'm sure that it will come at some stage.
Can I just point out something that's got horrible translation? Twitter uses Bing, right?
Oh, my gosh.
The Bing translation Twitter is terrible.
I've had lol, like, do you want to translate from Bulgarian?
I put in a tweet on our HTXT account the other day. There was just like a normal English headline and a link. It's like, do you want to translate from Dutch? It didn't even had
any Afrikaans.
Afrikaans. It was just English. So I follow a lot of Japanese people on Twitter.
Yeah.
I have to depend on the translator and it just messes up most of
terribly.
The time. So Twitter, if you're listening.
Switch to Google.
Yeah. Ditch Bing. No matter how much they're probably paying you. So that's that. I'm glad that's coming.
And it works quite well. So go and check it out. Tell us how well it actually does work. Unfortunately, I don't speak Zulu, so I can't really say if it works that well or not. Lungelo did say that it worked pretty good. It looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Go and have a play with it.
Anything that gets us closer to the babblefish. Nick, tell us about what you did this weekend.
I binged watch on Netflix. I had food poisoning the week before, and I didn't have any plans this weekend, so I decided I was going to plug into Netflix and just binge watch for a bit.
How many times did Netflix ask you, are you still there?
No, it just, just pops up and says, play now.
Only once, actually.
Only once?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. That's not a
binge watch. Unless it pops up three times.
Well, no, but if you imagine you're watching three movies... And then an entire series. But the series is of 30-minute episodes, and it's only six episodes long.
Oh, okay, then it won't
pick it up. Six or seven episodes long.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like you have watched a lot, but it's like, you know, we're not going to interrupt.
You're being active, though. It's not like you just pressed play and watched all two episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I watched that terrifying documentary that you... suggested I watch
Nobody Speak.
What is that about?
Okay, it's about how you're not going to have a job ever in journalism for the rest of your life.
Oh, but I've known that for a while. After I saw some machines write articles, I was like, well, I better start doing stuff on the weekends. Yeah. Also, there's a bot someone made for Reddit. It's called a shortener. It takes like 300-word articles that people post, and it takes off like a third of it. And messes it around so it's still coherent. And you're like, okay. So even if I do have my job, the bots will just take my content and make it shorter and more digestible. Anyway, so next keep going.
Lego good, Clinton Matos. Basically, what it does is it starts off talking about the court case between Hulk Hogan and Gawker, if you remember that.
Terry Bollea.
Well, Hulk Hogan. That was it Bollea versus?
It was Bollea versus. What's their name? Gawker.
Gawker.
Because, I'll let you talk about it.
Yeah, because he refers to himself in the third person.
That's so
anyway,
weird.
Anyway, so what happened is it takes that as its jumping off point. If you don't know the Bollea versus Gawker case, it's really, really worth looking into. Essentially,
we'll link some articles.
Gawker put a video on their site saying this is the Hulk Hogan sex tape. And I think he was having sex with one of his friend's wives, wasn't he?
Was his best man, former best friend.
Right.
That's how they refer to it in the...
Former best friend.
Anyway.
Children.
And certain sort of details come out. But essentially, initially they asked to take the clip down in the name of decency.
Yeah.
And then as Gorka dug their heels in...
As they did.
The trial kind of spiraled into this $100 million lawsuit for pain and suffering and violation of privacy and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And it went on for ages. And the clincher comes when you find out that... Facebook board member and former PayPal founder Peter Thiel was funding the case to the tune of, I think, $30 million for Belair to sue Gorka.
Yeah.
Well,
and what really hit me with that case was when Belair decided to lessen the charges,
yeah,
so that Gorka's insurance wouldn't pay the legal fees.
Basically, he drops a couple of charges, which means that the insurance company that insures Gorka against this sort of thing can walk away, and it basically exposes what was his name? I want to say Nick Devonshire.
Is that the who?
The editor of the editor founder of Gorka.
Dawson, wasn't it? Nick Dawson.
Yeah. He gets exposed personally, as do a couple of other journalists.
Yeah.
And
including the guy who wrote the story.
Yeah. And so the narrative then changes from this legal wrangling into a cautionary tale of super rich individuals.
Nick Denton it was.
Yeah, Nick Denton. Either buying up newspapers and media outlets to ensure that they're not written about in
them. Whoa, wait. Why was the billionaire doing this in the first place?
Oh, because
Gorka wronged him in the first place, right? This isn't just out of the blue.
This, by the way, is something that's never been admitted to by either party. It's only been speculated on, so we can only say allegedly. But what Gorka contend is that the reason that Peter Thiel backed Belair financially was because Gorka outed him as gay.
And from what I heard in that documentary, because I didn't actually go and read the piece, but from what I heard from a couple of sources was that it wasn't like slamming or derogatory. It was kind of going like, hey, gay people also in Silicon Valley, get used to it. Well, can we get like some, because you have like people like Mark Zuckerberg being photographed with his wife and all these people being photographed with their partners, but there's like this hushed tone when you're talking about gay people in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, but it's also Nick Denton's also gay.
But,
yeah.
But the way I remember it is that he wasn't ready to come out to the world. Gorka kind of did that for him, which is why he was so angry, which I can understand. I mean, you're taking something away from someone, making something public, which they wouldn't want. And that's why he backed it, if I'm not mistaken.
That's, like we said...
Speculation.
Speculation why he backed it.
Yeah.
Because he's never actually come out and gone, that's why I did it.
Yeah, obviously.
I don't...
That would be bad.
Why would that be bad? It's like, you know, just to confirm what everyone knows. But the thing is, it's like, on the one hand... And this is why it's such an interesting documentary, and also it's there's no sort of black and white here. There are many shades of gray.
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, you could say, well, for example, like, you know, Clinton's got a point. They outed him. They maybe wasn't really ready to be outed. They've taken away something from him, right? But then what he does is he throws a huge sign up in the air to anybody who's as wealthy as him, and there's quite a few people who are as wealthy as him, going, well, if some outlet talks smack about you, you can come in with your millions and you can effectively shut them down.
You see...
Because now Gorka has to file for bankruptcy and they're pretty much out of business.
I see what you're saying, but I think there's a difference between me going on our site and saying Nick kicks puppies, which is, you know, intended to defame
you. It's a time-honored Cowan tradition.
Nick, confirm. There's a difference between me saying that and then me saying Nick prefers women with brown hair.
Mm.
Even if you didn't want people to know you like women with brown hair, it's different than me saying you go kick puppies. Mm.
But well, you see,
it's a strange case.
One of the things that like that occurred to me, because I'd always seen Gorka as this
bitch
like gossip
fest.
Site, yeah, essentially. And when throughout the documentary, it actually showed a side of Gorka that I'd never like seen, which was the
How much of that is skewed?
Absolutely, I'm not saying that the documentary is 100% accurate, but it showed me another side of Gorka that I hadn't seen, which was the journalistic side of it. Like, we are pursuing stories because they are stories, and we are not going to back down because this person is powerful.
The only thing I remember from that is that they had a story loosely entitled, I can't remember right now, Hulk Hogan's lawyers told us to take the video down, but we won't. which isn't really sticking to your journalistic guns. It's more of a...
Well, I mean, think about it in today's context, though. How many people would just go, yeah, sure, okay, we'll take it down because we don't want to make you angry?
Mm. Yeah, but did they have the right to post that video in the first place? It was probably against the law.
What is news and what is not news? That's where the story comes in.
How is... Okay, Nick, defend why seeing Hulk Hogan have sex with someone is in the public.
Well, doesn't Hulk Hogan trade very heavily on the fact that he's the all-American clean-cut guy?
I don't think so.
Well, that shows you how old I am. When I remember Hulk, he was like...
He was the American hero.
Maybe I'm a real American.
And a idol to kids everywhere.
I am the guy who has his own line of chewable vitamin sweets.
And then what I'm
going to
do is I'm going to appear on a sex tape and shout...
And bang my mate's wife.
And scream racial profanities.
I still don't think it's in the public interest
anyway,
to see
we're getting,
sex.
Anyway, we're getting overloaded. But the point is, as you can tell, none of us here can come to a huge agreement on it.
It's just a really good documentary.
But it's a really good documentary. It's worth watching. I also watched Glow.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know if you know anything about Glow at all.
Nothing at all.
Okay.
Less than I know about Twin Peaks.
So basically Glow, this shows you how meta some entertainment has become. Glow was a late 80s television show. The acronym stands for the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Okay.
And it was, as it does.
In 1987-88, it was a TV show that was 100% dedicated to like telling stories, but it was also a reality TV show.
Yeah.
It was an all-female wrestling cast. The only males there were the ring announcers and the, the referees occasionally.
Yeah.
And it went to territories that, like, when you look at it now, you go, you would have only gotten away with that in the 80s, dude.
Yeah.
So Glow, the Netflix series, is a fictional show about that TV show.
Okay.
It's like, imagine...
Is it a documentary about the original show? No, it's not a documentary.
It's essentially, if you imagine L.A. Law, remember L.A. Law?
Yeah.
Right, now imagine I make a show about TV lawyers that...
Okay.
Completely, the story could be completely different to all the actors and their stories over here, but I'm just basically... using that as a rubric, and there you go.
Okay, all right.
Basically, the protagonist is an out-of-work actress who's getting fed up of going to casting calls and being cast as the secretary because there aren't any meaty parts for women in the 80s in TV. And then she basically gets a casting call from a woman she accosted in a bathroom who says, look, there's this bloke who's making the show. It's not porn, but they're looking for unconventional girls.
I was just about to raise a questioning eyebrow at that.
And so she goes, and it turns out to be a wrestling show. And also it dovetails into like the inherent sexism of the 1980s. And well, it probably still continues to this day.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point, she's standing in front of the director, and he's going, what's wrong with your face? She's like, what do you mean? He said, well, half the time I'm thinking, like, you know, you're really quite good looking, but then you turn and I go, oh, not really. I say, you just got one of those faces.
Wow.
That's a lie because Alison Brie is beautiful.
Alison Brie.
Somebody's got a celebrity crush.
Ooh, ever since Community.
Essentially, because it's the director is this kind of Russ Meyer, Valley of the Dolls kind of schlocky horror guy.
Yeah.
He's been hired by a trust fund kid to bring his vision to life. Like, you have everything from Viking stereotypes to this one character on the show who calls herself Benefit Queen, and she's like going to sit on welfare and eat up all your benefits, which, by the way, is offensive enough, but that's nowhere near as offensive as the character she was based on, who was literally called Big Black Mama, and she used to come to the ring with a bone in her hand and do voodoo. So... that's what the actual show did.
In WWE, isn't there someone who does voodoo, like right now?
No, I don't know. The Undertaker? No, he didn't do voodoo.
No.
Papa Shango used to do voodoo.
No, there was one I remember. I saw one ETV showing of WWE 3 years ago, and someone did voodoo with snakes.
Anyway,
so are you sure that wasn't
the lead two characters are essentially one of them finds her voice in that she pretends to be a Russian communist, and she just slates Americans the entire time, and then the hero
because becomes, of course that's
perfect actually
for
based
the time.
On real life as well, because one of the heels in the original show was Colonel Nanochka, who was I think from Arkansas originally, and Americana. I can't remember where she was from. I'll tell you who did get her start in GLOW, the actual real show. If you remember WWE, a wrestler called Ivory.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she was in the original.
Oh, GLOW. Okay.
She graduated from there. The thing is, if you watch old clips on YouTube of GLOW, the original show, you'll see like how far wrestling has come since then for women, because this was the first show about wrestling which was all women. At the time, women were looked at as the comic relief, like dwarf wrestling sort of thing.
I see one of the directors is Genji Kohan, who did Weeds and Orange is the New Black as well. So that actually sounds like good watch.
I watched it with some mates of mine who started off going, "We hate this, we hate this," and by like the third episode, they were hooked.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really, really good.
Awesome. Just one season right now. Yeah.
It's just one season, and you can binge watch it without Netflix saying, "Do you want to watch the rest of this?" But I really enjoyed it.
That's really cool. I think I will check that out soon. Stop watching Silicon Valley for the 100th time.
But it finished.
What?
It finished on Sunday. It was the last
episode. Was it the last episode on Sunday?
Isn't it? Isn't there?
I don't think it was the last episode. I think there might be a few more.
You sure? Because it was episode 10, and the last season had 10 episodes.
We will see.
So if you may want to use your money somewhere else, Brendan, because the Steam summer sale has returned.
Oh, gosh, don't remind me.
You see, that's the funny thing is my wallet's not crying at all. I've picked out games, and they're like 20 bucks a shot.
Yeah, there's some really good deals.
So bad news first. I think this is the second year where we don't see any more daily deals or featured deals. So
Mitch can get
from
stickers.
From June 22nd to July 5th, the same prices.
Yeah.
Unless something drastic happens, you're not going to miss it unless you get in the sale after July.
Yeah.
So what are they doing? Aside from the money off the games, they've got stickers.
Yeah, stickers.
So
stickers on a digital game.
So this is how it works. There's a big banner that says get your stickers here. You click it opens a digital book. And it has adventures for you to do. Do they call them adventures? Quests. So you do quests like exploring your discovery queue, getting an achievement in a game, checking your discovery queue settings, following curators. I've done these all yesterday.
Yeah.
And for every quest you complete, you get a sticker pack. Every pack has 3 stickers. And there's like...
I think there's 10. I think there's 10...
there's a lot.
Escapes.
I think there's like 60.
Oh, my bad. One of them has 10 stickers in total.
Yeah. So I won't do the math on air, but there's a lot you need to get. Luckily, I read over it. You'll never get a duplicate until you finish the book.
Okay.
And you get like a badge for your profile if you get all the stickers.
Woohoo, because everybody uses this new profiles.
Why are we talking about stickers?
Because this is part of the sale.
It's the augmented reality game.
Also, you can get money out of this because
sell the stickers.
Yeah, no, can't sell the stickers.
Oh, the packs.
Can't sell the packs either.
What? Stop with the preemptive strikes. Let the man talk.
If at certain times while you're doing these quests, you'll get what they call trading cards, and you can sell the trading cards. And they're the type of trading cards which will disappear after July the 5th. So you either have to get all the cards and craft a badge, or you need to just sell them, which is what I've been doing.
Okay. Or you can do what I do and just sell in-game Dota 2 items and make cash money.
Or you can do what I do, which is just go there, buy 2 games, not give a toss.
So I think the best place to start if you want to get some games is scroll to the bottom, go to the... 50 rand or under.
Yeah.
If you're overseas, I think it's $5 or under.
And $10
and
under.
Yeah, and $10 or under. In the $5 one, there's a lot of stuff. There was... I'm trying to...
Well, from that, I got Papers, Please.
What's that like? I haven't played that yet.
It will mess with your mind. It really is like... It's just a point and click and matching things. But the underlying story is really, really... hardcore. But it's a lot of fun. I mean, I played it for about 2 hours on Sunday. I think it cost like $27.
Yeah, there's a lot of cheap stuff.
And then I bought one of my mates bought him Car Mechanic Simulator 2015 because he had expressed an interest in that game quite a while back. And it's actually, the gold edition cost like $40 or something with all the DLC, all of that stuff. It was really cheap.
Yeah, so under $50, right? You can get Castle Crashers, 32 yeah. Rand. Fallout New Vegas, 28 Rand. Transistor, 33 Rand.
Does Fallout come with a bunch of patches?
No, I think it's
being as buggy as an ant farm.
Oh, yeah. It'll come with all the patches.
Broforce made South Africa, $40. So there's a lot of good stuff. FTL. Please buy FTL. One of the best games ever.
FTL?
Faster than light.
I have a bit of a problem with Broforce. So I bought four copies when they had the four pack, and I took one for myself.
Yeah.
I gave one to one of my mates, and then I was going to give two to my other mates who are in the UK.
Mm.
And it wouldn't let me gift it to them because they're in the UK.
Wasn't that... I don't think that's Broforce. That's Steam. Didn't you write the story where they changed the gifting?
Well, this was before that even.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know. If somebody would like a copy of Broforce, I have two and I will gladly give them to
you. That game's a lot of fun co-op.
I've bought Pony Island.
Oh,
okay.
Next into the meta. Do you not know what Pony Island
is? No, I have heard about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's not what it is.
No, I know it's not about I've heard that's strange
things. If you don't know what it's about, it's essentially a side-scrolling game where you have a pony leaping over things as a sort of kickoff, and then you find out that the game is designed by Satan,
the literal Satan,
and it becomes this sort of meta game between Satan and you trying to save your soul. I also bought To the Moon because I'd heard good things about that.
To the Moon, though.
To the Moon.
What? It's from Jontron.
Yes,
the racist.
He had a video where that was just a segue into a joke. And every time someone says the moon, Brendan and I just look into it. To the moon, though.
To the moon. Sorry, well, that's interesting because to the moon's actually quite a heartbreaking little story.
Yeah,
which I'm not going to tell you about.
Okay.
Because you laughed at it. And I also got Gabriel Knight, The Sins of the Father, if you remember that.
Oh, yes.
Gabriel Knight, basically, it was an old Sierra game that's had a kind of lick of paint and streamlined controls. And essentially what you are is you're a horror novelist / rare bookstore owner in New Orleans.
That sounds like something I want to do when I'm older.
And you become embroiled in this case for research purposes about people who are being killed and voodoo paraphernalia is being found near them. And, it's one of those games where it's meticulously researched and incredibly well written, because in the hands of lesser developers or a lesser writer, this could have gone to horrible racist territory very, very quickly. But it doesn't. And it actually, after playing this game, I was already doing, what's the word I'm looking for, religious studies as part of my degree at WITS.
Mm.
That got me very interested in voodoo. So I started researching that a lot.
Okay.
That's cool.
So I bought that. And then I haven't installed it yet or played it yet, but I've got Amnesia, The Dark Descent.
Don't play
it.
That's
the first one, eh?
Yeah, the first one.
So one of the games I may get or may not is Divine Cybermancy.
Yeah.
I've looked at it before and it's been ridiculous, but I watched a video from this guy called Mandalore Gaming, and it looks like the best game ever made. Now, it's strange because the same people who made this made Space Hulk Deathwing, which was very bland and had a lot of technical problems. But I'm going to put the video to Divine Cybermons here under this.
Cool.
You can watch it and decide for yourself. I'm only probably going to buy after the month rolls over because I've got school to do. I'll probably get Sunless Sea. Halcyon 6 I've been looking at for a while. Quake.
Sunless Sea, by the way, is very, very good.
Yeah. It's right in my type of game that I like.
Yeah, shut up.
No, sorry. It's just because I was reading and I was going to lose my place. I've got like 100 games on my wish list, so I need to choose. I also want to get the original Fear.
I've got all three of the games, plus the expansions.
But it's not on sale in the...
I heard that the first Fear was the best one.
Yeah, it's got mechs, so that's
the
only
second
reason.
One's got mechs.
No, the first one too.
All right. Well, in that case, it's
specifically
probably
that was really good when I like I've played it since then, and like it's a case of don't meet your heroes. But if you've never played it before, I highly recommend giving it
a play. See, that's the thing is, I played the second one, and I just thought, okay, here's a quick story about. So, I was playing the Second Fear, and I've played the Second Fear, and I'm not impressed. It's a good, it's a decent-ish shooter with a couple of creepy moments, but like
the first one was way better.
You know, but stack it up against some games that actually try to terrify you, like the original Dead Space or Silent Hill. It falls short terribly.
I thought those games were also like half action.
Half Silent Hill.
I thought you said Fear.
No, Fear is just as it's a shooter.
But
it was billed as a horror game.
Yeah.
And the problem is
horror shooter.
And the problem is when you're in a shooter, you generally speaking turn into a walking slaughterhouse.
No, that's kind of why I want to buy it. Yeah, I hate horror.
And it was pitched as a horror, and there's loads of jump scares.
Yeah, there are lots of jump scares.
Look, if you can handle Doom, you can handle this, right? But anyway, so I'm playing this game at a preview event, which they've had in this old, ornate London house. Like, you know, there's candles and everything. It looks very, very gothic. And they put you into this area where they put this curtain around you. So you're basically enshrouded in black while you're playing this game in this pod. And then I'm like, I'm playing this game, and I just hear this noise off to the side. And I'm like, this is interesting. So I swing the camera here and there, and nothing. And I'm like, oh, surround sound on these things is very good. So I'm watching, and then I hear that noise again, and I'm like, what's going on here? And then I take the cans off, and I hear the noise again, and I'm like, something's making this sort of noise. So I basically creep up to this curtain and open it, and the curtain is actually being held together by Velcro, and inside the curtain is this guy who's tapping different areas around the pod.
What?
And I'm like, what are you doing here? And
he said, my official job is the tapper.
He said, what are you doing here? He said, I've been hired to scare you.
So forthcoming. I thought he was going to like put on an act. We're like, whoa, have a go.
So I'm looking at getting the Dark Souls, this Dark Souls series.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I've never played them.
No, because that's a very like big jump to make. Be like, one day I'm going to play Dark Souls.
It's something that I've been like building myself up to for quite a while.
I'd get one and see how you like it, rather than invest in the whole series. Okay,
so the thing is, they're really cheap now.
How cheap are we talking?
I think the first one is like $70 or something. It's like that's super, super cheap.
And I think it actually works now.
I did it with Five Nights at Freddy. I went and bought all five of the games.
Why?
Because at some point I'm going to play them.
Brendan wants to torture himself.
Because I really like horror, and I really want to try them out.
Why don't you buy the Ninja Gaiden series while you're on top of it?
And then I also want to play Darkest Dungeon because I've seen about 100 Let's Plays of that on YouTube, and every time I watch it, I just want to play it.
A new DLC for it came out right now.
Yeah.
Oh, like 2 days ago, The Crimson Court with
vampires.
It's
like 100 and something bucks. It's really cheap.
If Darkest Dungeon
really
is cheap, I'd get it.
I think I'm going to get that before I buy Souls.
Base game, 107. The Ancestral Edition with the Crimson Court is 137. This is $30 for the DLC. That's cheap.
I think for the first time in a Steam sale, I have no interest in buying a AAA game. There's no...
I usually never have.
Aren't the Dark Souls games?
Yeah, I suppose. Bandai Namco. Yeah, okay, so they're the one. But other than that, I mean, usually I'm like, oh, I wonder how much GTA is. And now I don't really care about that company anymore.
I gave it a negative review.
Did you? Did you stop playing it, though?
Yeah, I stopped playing it a long time ago, I hadn't reviewed it on Steam, and when they pulled that stuff, I went and left it a negative review.
Other than that, like I usually look at like Assassin's Creed, and I want to play those. And
I still need to get Black Flag.
Even Prey, I'm like, do I really want to buy this right now? Or is it just going to sit in my library for a year and never get played?
I think it's still like $500.
Though. I think I actually might have a spare copy of Black Flag on Xbox if you want it.
On Xbox One?
Yeah.
I thought it was on 360. I need to end off with something, right?
Right. Yeah.
I wanted to go on Steam, look up this game called Tembo, the Badass Elephant. Now, this is a real game. It's about a platforming elephant who's dressed a bit like Rambo. Your abilities include charging like an elephant does and becoming a ball and rolling around.
Like an elephant doesn't do.
This game, I played the demo when the game launched in 2015.
Yeah.
And it had the best like momentum mechanics. Like it was even better than Sonic in terms of momentum mechanics.
Okay.
You know who made this game? Game Freak, who are the developers of Pokemon. they made this game for some reason, and it's available on all platforms, not just Nintendo.
And nobody talks about it.
No, but it's such a strange game.
What's it called? Tembo the
Badass Elephant.
What a cool name.
39, call it 40 Rand on Steam. So that's a very odd choice. Go look that up. I may buy it. Also, free demo. No one does demos anymore. GameCube did a demo. What happened in 2015, man? It's so strange.
We all got lost.
Yes, that's going to be everything for this week. There will be links to everything we talked about today. Please go check those out. We'll see you next week. From myself, from Brendan,
cheerio.
From Nick,
bye.
And from Lungi, who's been here but hasn't been talking. We'll see you next week.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.